on Web Radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on music, scripture, community, and world issues. We're being broadcast from the awesome Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. If you would like to see our show live, go to skidrowstudios.com and hit live video. And now, our show.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Denise Boyd.
And you are listening to Positive Perspective. Our in-studio host guest tonight, and we know who the host are, I mean the host is the incredible, magnificent Manuel Campito, OG. I mean, he is a community leader and advocate for Los Angeles Skid Row. And a good friend of mine, I'll say that. I mean, I'm there, he's here, but it's like family, it's like, you know, we got that closeness that's just there. We also have the marvelous, wonderful, fantabulous Shante Marie Duncan. And the world-renowned Bobby Buck.
Hello.
And also the gorgeous Denise Boyd co-hosting.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like, turn it over to Denise because she was telling me something earlier and... just go ahead, girl.
Well, I'm going to get it off my chest. They had a thing I saw in the news a couple days ago at the Sky High Clinic when the police went in and did a bust on a marijuana dispensary clinic. And, they bust the door in with their little door jammers.
Batarams
or whatever. And they thought that they had taken out, all of the cameras, but the owner of the shop had a hidden camera through there. And here's our police department that's down there supposedly being, holding up the law. And they're in there testing the brownies that are in there, basically harassing a lady that was in a wheelchair, talking about how they were going to kick her stump because she had one leg that was cut off on through there. And they didn't think they were being videoed because they thought that the cameras had all been knocked out. To me, if they're supposed to be upholding the law and they're in there because they thought obviously something must have been going on illegal, why were they breaking the law by, eating the brownies, doing a thumbs up saying, yeah, they were good brownies, and harassing people that were in there. And she had a medical marijuana card, the lady did that. So she had a legitimate card to buy.
But was the business legit or?
I don't know about that part. I mean, it was called the Sky High Clinic. I mean, it was not, it had a name and stuff, but still, legit or not legit, they didn't need to harass the people, nor did they need to.
Man, OG. Well, I'm going to call you OG. I'm sorry.
It all works. But the one thing I just wanted to point out that these raids are questionable. Been questionable. Dispensaries haven't been attacked, some have. So, it's a questionable thing.
But questionable that it was legit or...
No, just questionable in terms of who the law enforcement are going after. Some of them they go after, some of them they don't go after, okay?
So you're saying maybe bribes or...
I'm just saying
buying that, more of the police ball tickets or...
Well, I'm saying they need to just stop it, period. People are purchasing, the clinics and everything, and it's medical marijuana. It's not like they can spend a lot more time maybe stopping them boats and planes that's bringing crack over here and cocaine. Spend more time. Have you seen the number of police that were there? They need to spend more time and energy doing some other thing rather than eating brownies and throwing darts. Just that simple. They're getting off, and it's happening every day. Turn the news on, the police is doing something wrong. But one thing she pointed out about the hidden camera. If we would have had cameras 400 years ago, you would have seen a whole lot of stuff we're not seeing. The reason why everything's coming out now is because people got cameras. This, the beating of kids, women shooting, this been going on for 400 years. The only difference is we got cameras now. Okay.
And they still getting away. Yeah, Lady Justice.
Every time it happened, one of whoever's a sergeant, the captain, they always say, well, the videos is questionable. We didn't see the whole thing. They always making up an excuse, for the activities of the police. Okay. And they, we went through the Perez thing. We complained decades before that the police was corrupt. Okay, so now, you know, I mean, come on, man. They got a medical dispensary right behind Central Division.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so come on, man. You know, they spend a lot of time doing a whole lot of other stuff than worrying about somebody smoking weed.
Well, you know what? To me, that's the future. You know, everybody's smoking weed, and every, you know, it's going out there. There's a whole lot of thinking and, I mean, thinking and twisting and...
So why did they threaten the lady that was disabled?
They were just harassing her is all they were doing. I mean, there's, regardless of, you know, she kept saying, I have a card. You know, she was trying to say, I've got legitimate business to do in this operation. And they were just harassing because they thought, and to make the comment because she was an amputee, you know, that's not right. I mean, you shouldn't even do that as another human being. But when you're the police, you're supposed to be a little bit, you know, up from that type of a action. It's just because they didn't think they were.
Yeah.
They just didn't think they were being seen. So they thought they could get away with stuff.
Well, I think it's Lady Justice's fault. I mean, she's blindfolded and she ain't trying to see. Yeah, well, we think it's for one reason that she's blindfolded, but I think it's a totally different reason that she's blindfolded.
A reason?
I think that she was never meant to see all the corruption that she's allowing in the United States. That we, you know, I guess the symbolism is that everybody's equal, but she's really blindfolded because she's not supposed to see how the government's kicking us all in our butts and hanging us and lynching us and shooting us and beating us and they're able to get away with all that stuff because Lady Justice
is blind. Blind to the facts.
And that's all it is. It's twisted.
Well, you know, when it comes to criminal justice and the criminal system and go all the way back, we're going back to the chain gang. You know, the first immigrants to come over here, you know, that were, you know, behind taxes, they were considered criminals, you know. So the whole justice system, you know, has been built that way, you know, it's historical, you know, it's got a lot of camouflage, you know.
Right.
You know, but other than that, when you get to the core of it, you know, even when you go back to the LAPD, you know, how they recruited officers from the South just to take care of black people. You know, we can go to the newspapers and do that research. When you say, well, it's racism, come on, man, that's how you built it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're trying to put together a skit about Lady Justice and the Liberty Bell, how the Liberty Bell's got a crack in it.
Yeah, and big old crack. Yeah, man, where crack came from, the Liberty Bell, you might be pumping it out there. So that's a thing that we all have to do. We just was talking about that, you know, yesterday for Juneteenth, you know, you know, Juneteenth was...
Wait a second. Did you get that off your chest? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Because I want to shift gears. I want to shift gears.
Still in the justice.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying, I want to talk about what happened yesterday. And you say, I mean, we can go right into your discussion, what you were talking about yesterday, but I want you to talk about Juneteenth. A lot of people don't even know about Juneteenth and what it is and like that. So can you expound?
Well, you know, we do that. And you're right, it's kind of funny that a lot of people don't know about Juneteenth, you know, after so many decades. Yeah. But we know that Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation in April 1865.
Mm-hmm.
But when he signed it, black people didn't know they were free, so they had to send that news back south. So, you know, legends have it that a man on a mule went back south to Galveston, Texas, whatever, and he told black people they were free. And it says that it was marked by people throwing down their rakes and their hoes and festivities and being happy and jubilant and engaged. They said, but we wanted to plant on the men's mind the fact that if you was a black man at that time, your wife could have been on another plantation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the day before that, the slave master could walk in there and do whatever he wanted to do, say your kids. So your kids might have even been on another plantation.
But, I mean, actually... I mean, they found out they were free, but actually the slave master could have still walked in and done the same thing, right? But I mean,
probably could have.
It's not like the legal system was just going to change everything in the blink of an eye.
Right.
And didn't, really.
And that was the thing we wanted to point out. Some stayed. Some that were in the big house. They went once they found out, well, they didn't know, we're free. Free to do what?
Yeah. Where go am I going to go? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, north, south, east, or west, okay? Mm-hmm. So you got that dilemma. Then you got the ones that say, well, heck, we just leaving. We don't care which way we go.
Right.
Let's gaffle up everybody we can. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, as a man, your responsibility, that's the one thing we promote, responsible fatherhood. So being a responsible father at that time in life, think what he had to go through.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
Just try to get his family back together.
Yeah, trying to do that. Maybe you never even did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they said when people did get to the North, you know, when the chain gang came up, because slavery said, when they abolished slavery, they said no man could be in under servitude unless he was convicted of a crime. So they was going to the North, capturing people, just gapping them up, mm-hmm. hijacking them, bringing them back to the South, throwing them on the chain gangs. And it was, are you convicted of something? You know, that went on for decades. Some people never seen their families anymore.
Is that like that movie, 12 Years a Maid?
I didn't see it, but...
Oh, wait a minute. It's not a maid. It's 12 Years a Slave. Is that kind of based on what you're talking about?
I don't know. I never seen it.
Oh, but
I don't know. I didn't see
it. I didn't see it either, but that was...
It was similar to that. They went up north, and he was a free man, and then they got him. And,
yeah.
They did that to hundreds of people.
Wow, that's thousands of people. I didn't even know that.
Okay, so that's, you know, that was the whole thing about, you know, what we wanted to talk about, Junior. Not just the fact that people heard they were free. They couldn't remember what day it was, but they knew it was in June, and they knew it was in the teens.
Oh.
So that's why it came Juneteenth.
Oh, uh-huh.
So we celebrate Juneteenth from the 13th to the 19th. Because then nobody know what date it was found on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're talking about Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. So it didn't just all happen on the same day.
Right, right.
You know, the news was getting out little by little. And then, like I say, you know, they turn around and start gapping them back up.
Putting
you back in slavery. So, you know, even today, the prison system is still based on the same concept of a plantation.
Gosh, who was that? Someone just talking to me about prison doesn't pay. And... it was a comedian, and he was he went to the prisons and he did a show, and this is coming out, I think, came on last night or something, but he was joking and saying, you know, crime don't pay, and, you know, prisons don't pay, and he says, you guys, it don't pay you guys, but prisons are $1 billion industries.
Especially the private ones.
Yeah,
they make a lot of
money. They make off of them
the prisoners,
producing
the
stuff that we use. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so he was joking about that. But yeah, that's basically what you're saying. And it's kind of been a lot of talk about that, Andrea. And I've heard people saying about the...
About it being slavery.
Basically.
Yeah.
And basically, yeah. And this one guy that got busted not too long ago that was arresting everybody for little reason. If you had a busted taillight, you went to jail. So he could put you to work, basically. And I'm not sure that was somewhere on the East Coast or something like that. But more about the Juneteenth celebration, OG. How did it go over?
It went great. It really was good, you know. Time flies when you're having fun. So we get a chance to do all the things we want to do because we, you know, again, we combined Father's Day with Juneteenth. So And then the men had a basketball. And so they had a...
Gladys Park is where you held it.
Yeah, it was kind of part of the opening season, too, because Father's Day with OGs and Service Association is one of the same things. So we had a great game. We kind of started late, so it went on late, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And we ate good. You know, we had a lot of war, a lot of music. Some of the entertainers didn't show up, but we had, you know, Uncle Bean was there. And
Uncle Ben?
Uncle Bean
was there. He
Reggae.
Did a great show.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was good. So we got another event coming next week, which will be Father's Day. So it'll be on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, actually Father's Day is on the 21st. So.
Right.
So that, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about Juneteenth during this week. And, you know, we wanted to attach it to also the reparations because you got to bear in mind... you know, when you're free, no money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did to it. No money. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things that are that we have today is a result of that. How you gonna be free? No land, no money.
Mm.
No job, no land, no money.
Try to go back to where you was.
Well, you know, we clown a lot because you know we talked about you know, me and Bobby talked about the fact that I wanted to bring it up, but he also talked about what would happen if every black man, woman, and child was given $10 million today.
I think the whole United States would be in chaos.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's a good point you point out. Why? Why if we get some money, the world gonna be in chaos?
Well, as the reason I say that is just look at the evidence. We don't, and I mean, people can hate me for saying it, but we do not have the training. We do not have it. We do not have the knowledge to handle that kind of money, that kind of responsibility. It's, in my opinion, because of the oppressions that were placed on us and the slave, what slavery did to us for this very same reason. So we cannot own anything. We don't want our families. We don't want the responsibilities to do the things that we should, because that's what was instilled and put into us. We cannot handle it because of those reasons.
So the reason why I point that out, because here's a young lady right here who deserves the money. And if we say we don't need no money, that means she can't get her money. So are we saying that she's not responsible enough for $10 million?
I don't think, and I love Shantae. Hey, I love her. I love Shantae.
No money,
I love her, but $10 million would destroy her.
Okay, and that's the point why we want to break out, because of that, that's why we've been reduced to welfare, you know, little handouts, because the world feels, I mean, the Jews got their money, the Indians got their money. We the only race of people that ain't supposed to have no money because we incompetent.
Well, I'm
not saying
I agree with you. I agree with you totally. And the Indians like that, and the Jews, and even the Japanese war.
Yeah, they got their money.
I mean, they got money, but as far as black slaves and that whole thing, and you know, there was like a movement, I guess, what, a few years back, probably even 20 years back, that was bringing this issue up. But I don't know, OG. That's kind of a. I mean, what's your point?
There ain't no point. I'm pointing. The thing is, we want to do a skit on it, because this is real. I mean, reparations got pushed so far under the table. Our black leaders don't even speak on it. Or they'll talk about get a good education, no money. Go get a job, work for somebody. You might have just gone back to the plantation, because in them days, if you died, you got buried. If you got sick, you was a good boy. You got straight. You didn't have to wait for no appointment. You got went to the doctor. He made sure you got taken care of. If you died, you got buried. If you died today, it's a hassle. Nobody wants you to die. It costs money to bury you. You were taken care of better in slavery than you are today. And then to hear that, well, you don't need no money either. Well, what do we need?
I'm not saying that.
We don't need no reparations. So it got so far down. And the reason why I brought it up, because young black people don't know nothing about reparations. So they can't speak on it. The other thing that we pointed out, I believe personally, we always complain about when a white man did this, or system did this. So if you give everybody $10 million, which is little for slavery, come on, man.
Hold on.
I'm just saying, the economy going to get boosted. Yeah. Everybody going to be buying something tomorrow.
I believe that.
It make a lot of more sense to give it to the money, because you're right. Somebody going to mess it up. Some people going to smoke it up. Some people going to have Cadillacs. You ain't going to go out and get, ain't going to be no more prostitution, because everybody got $10 million. Okay?
So, there's going to be prostitution.
No, you know that? It ain't going to be a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But one thing for a fact, as an economist, the system is going to be boosted.
Yeah.
People going to buy houses. People going to be buying until they go broke.
Without the education and the training on how to handle the money, and of course, $10 million, you have to take the responsibility that comes along with $10 million. And if you haven't been trained for that, and I don't think it would matter whether you were white, black, green.
Nobody's been trained to handle $10 million. There's a lot of people that can't handle that responsibility. Look at the lottery winners.
Yeah, it brings
but
on
do
more
that
problems.
Mean you don't get the 221? We know people on welfare that can't handle 221. Are they not supposed to have it? We ain't going to give you no food stamps. We ain't going to give you no 221, because you're going to mess it up.
So OG, what do you think the answer, the solution to that is? If they can't handle 221, what is 10 million going to do?
I want mine. I don't care about the rest of it. I don't care if you can't handle 5 cents. I want my money. Don't use your handicap so I can't have mine. Don't use that. I don't hear nothing about it. We already know some people are going to mess it up.
But that don't
deny the other people that's responsible.
I think the majority would mess it up. And then I think that that would be another strike against us.
Well, so what? Then you won't have no reason to complain. If you had $10 million yesterday and got
you
robbed
still
today,
complain about
then
something.
You just be complaining.
Yeah.
I'll be rich.
Oh, well, I would love to see you have it, because I know if you got it, I'd have it.
Oh, I got you. Got my money. See there? Now you really got your own rep. Your own rep.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, that's an interesting
But also, before we get off of that, too, because my friend pointed out something. I ain't going to mention the name. But them Africans that sold us, we want some money from them, too. I don't know what you think. They ain't getting off either. I want reparations from everybody. Didn't think you go. Oh, no, they don't go that way. So you guys, I want money from both continents.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of, like you say, the world leaders or black leaders don't say anything about that because they know
they got money already.
They got money already.
They might have it already, but they know you ain't gonna get yours.
Yeah, they ain't gonna help us either. But
yeah, that's right. So that's why they ain't helping.
Well.
Feel it's a waste of time.
No, well, you know, I'm with OGs in service. We deal with self-help, so we ain't been waiting on none of them anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that I think that if things are given, then they're not respected as much. And I mean, even I think that's a lot of the problem with kids today and a lot of people today that are not working for what they have. It's being given to them, and they don't respect it. They don't respect knowledge. They don't respect, like, if you give them a car, they don't respect that. If you give them a house, they don't respect that. They don't want to work, and then they don't have to work. So I think that hard work is the best thing for all of us. And I just believe that.
I agree with that. Hard work should be compensated. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Well, that's true. I think that would be the best way. And I know we should be given the money because of the injustices done, but I don't believe that it should be just given freely. I think that there should be school or something that we can do to build up, you know, responsibilities and put ourselves, you know, put ourselves to the plow.
Well,
work for it.
A lot of that should be taught in the house. You know, it's like black history. You know, people want to go to school and learn black history. Come on, man. You're supposed to learn that in the house.
I know, but how do you teach something that you don't know?
Research. Oh, I forgot it was in the book. He hit it.
Yeah.
There's so many books that are out there that are on both sides of the spectrum. So if you really do the research, you can weed out the truth from the false information on there. And you're right. A lot of stuff needs to be taught in the households. And that means taking in an active role in what your kids are learning and what your kids, how you want them to be brought up. You can't expect the schools and society to raise your children.
Yeah, I was telling you about that book that I was reading right now. And it was saying, like, how we learn from a certain curriculum that's based on a certain viewpoint. Like, we don't really see this side or this side or get knowledge about this individual because we only learn about a certain types of people and how you have to kind of get that on your own.
You have to broaden your...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even in the educational system.
Mm-hmm. So what you got to say, Bobby?
No, I was going to say people are too busy trying to survive in order to try to learn some other valuable information about history. Because I remember I was with this other organization trying to hand out pamphlets to people so they can get some intellectual information. And people walk past me, I don't want no intellectual information. I need a way to get some money. So their mind sticks on survival. Like I can't remember where I heard it, I don't know, somewhere, but like say, this morning when I went to the mosque, like say, we think about 20 minutes from now, and people who are wealthy think 20 years from now.
Mm. Right.
But I think that when you're saying about the survival and stuff, if you had an education, you'd be able to have a lot better chance of surviving. So instead of being, like you said, so focused on the immediate.
Is that like, can that be applied to them raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour? Because I feel like in the long run,
That's not going to help. Because
I feel like they've done that constantly with raising it from $8.50 to $9.50 to $10.50. And I feel like the taxes are just going to go higher. So people are still
going to go
not
higher.
Not even just
people
taxes.
Are still going to be in the same situation.
Though. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can it's make like a right job, mm-hmm. a job be paid at $20 an hour, but the product you're going to buy that job producing is now going to cost $40 instead of $20 because like you've doubled the amount of wages.
What he just said with the 20 minutes versus 20 years, I feel like people are focusing on that as opposed to education or some other way that people can survive as opposed to that. I don't know. People are celebrating it, and I saw it on the news, and people were really happy about the mayor signing it or something in LA. But
well, people are shallow, and then
you get put down if you criticize that, like you
like
don't
homosexuality
like
you don't and transgender.
Like
you
don't
that's what society is doing with everybody.
They support it, but I feel like if you criticize it as saying the negative side of it, people think that you don't care about those people or you, you look down on them, and it's nothing like that. I just feel like it's making a bigger problem or it's not fixing it at all.
But you gotta understand, a lot of people are very close-minded, and I had to learn that myself. I had to learn to slow the anger is one of my best tools now, because I gotta understand that they don't understand the same things the way I understand them. So I let them be angry and stay away.
Well, people also are again, looking at the immediate. So they think, oh, I'm going to get $15 an hour, and everything's going to stay status quo. And it's not like that. That's not life.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, how can you afford to pay them an extra amount, for one? And they were saying they're going to cut jobs in order to pay those people that much money.
Well, or you like know what
get
I believe, though?
Or get computers or something that can do their jobs for them, because it costs too much to pay them. So it's making it worse.
I believe that, I mean, when you really look at the bottom line, I think the companies like McDonald's and even, you know, the company I work for, they're billion plus a year companies. I mean,
I know, but they're not
they
gonna,
can
they can afford they can,
can
but
afford
say
it.
They
but
won't,
you know
but
what
they
you talk about
adjust
McDonald's.
Their budget to do so.
You
right.
talk about
they'll
McDonald's.
Fire people.
They're going through they're losing money. They're not losing money as far. They still are in the black, but they're not in the red. But what their profits are from year to year
that's
has declined, is going
they'll
down.
They'll see how it affects their profits, so they'll cut people. It's not like they have to cut people, but they'll use that as an excuse to cut people because they have to pay more.
Also, a lot of the jobs that they're talking about that they're raising the minimum wage up on, those jobs weren't intended when they were made, like working at McDonald's, to be the primary source of income for your family.
That's
those
what
were
saying.
The jobs for older retired people to take, people
or
that were going
children.
To school,
teenagers,
a second job
college,
that you had to subsidize, that wasn't
kids.
Your primary income. So when you're saying I'm not picking on McDonald's, but you're saying McDonald's or Walmart is now my primary income job and that needs to be raised up.
Yeah, I just
up.
Think it's keeping people in a certain mindset.
It is, it's keeping me, in my mind, it's keeping people down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to make $20 an hour, what jobs pay $20 an hour? I need to either get an education. I need to get the skills to get that job.
That's
not say bring the job down to my skills.
Education affordable for people.
So what do you got to say,
well,
man?
That's not always possible because if you got, if you've been unfortunate and have 3-4 kids already, you know, trying to go to college. Not say it can't be done, you know. And then like I got a little granddaughter, and you know she got pregnant and she's going to college and she's going to school. But she had a support system. You know, she got all the family. You know, we're going to watch the baby, you know, all that kind of stuff. So if you don't have that kind of support system, trying to go to college and trying to work, you know, and go through college, you know, I don't think it's that easy as possible. But with reparations, we wouldn't have to worry about that, though.
He's never let that go.
But you know, not all jobs that pay a good salary have to have a college education. There's still jobs out there that you can do. Now you have, you know, we tried to raise our kids and say you have two options. You can use your brain or you can use your back. You know, but you
and
can't.
Your back's going to wear out before your brain does.
So, yeah, but there's people with college degrees that were complaining about it, saying that they went to college for 4 years and they started this position and they're going to be making the same amount of money that they did.
I mean,
you know, I don't know. There's different sides to it and just
too.
Different arguments that I've heard.
Okay, you know what? I want to shift gears.
But before you shift gears, it's time to have a look at what's going on and where you can get it going on.
Okay. Yeah, like, oh, he's bright.
So you can see. The best impression started home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. Live in Large Furniture. That's Live in Large Furniture. For more information, contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly Veterans Theater workshop. It's led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6 p.m. A free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information, you can contact Melvin Ishmael Johnson at 213-908-6567 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. The class has been postponed, but contact them and they'll let you know when it's getting back started. We'd like to thank our engineer, Jeremy.
doing a great job today. Appreciate it. And if you'd like to be part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046 to learn more about our nonprofit organization. It's called Positive Light Ministries, and make a donation. So visit the website. That's positivelight.org. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. And that's where you'll get all the information that about our upcoming fundraiser and kayaking event. Willis didn't scream kayak.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
But yeah, we'll be having our fundraiser on August 22nd, and the actual fundraising event will take place, the actual event will take place September 19th, and that's where we take all the kids kayaking. It's a great event, a great time for everyone.
We always forget about the beach party afterwards.
Yeah, there's a beach bonfire, open mic, events, activities, all of that stuff.
Kayaking for an hour, and then the rest of the time at the beach, barbecue.
Spending time, having fun,
what beach?
And bonfire.
Huntington
State Beach.
Well, Ashante, would you like to tell us about your radio show?
I thought
she's a broadcast. She sounded like a broadcast.
My radio show is entitled Mosaic of Sound. It's with KUCI, the independent college radio station on the UC Irvine campus. And I've actually been moved to Thursday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. And I play neo-soul, R&B, and alternative. So be sure to tune in, and back to our discussion.
I knew she's a broadcaster.
Yeah, she got her own show.
I knew that. She works, working
and stuff too. Working and some.
Working. Where $10 million at? You better own a studio.
Oh yeah. So hey, OG.
Yes, sir.
Now, can I shift gears?
Yes,
now?
I can shift gears. Shift away.
Okay. I just want everybody to know how you and I met. Man. Do you recall?
Man.
Well, if you don't recall, don't be embarrassed. A lot of people try to forget me.
No, you know, I think really we met at the church, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the program you were doing yet.
Right.
But at the church. That's Church of Nazarene.
I'm sure we encountered each other at the Church of the Nazarene.
Yeah.
But I believe that it was through Earlene Anthony.
Earlene?
Yeah, Earlene. I had the program with the children on... Positive Light Ministries Art. We had guitar.
Saturdays.
Yeah, Saturday classes where we taught guitar. And I was trying to teach the kids how to paint.
Yeah.
Well, Earlene told me that you were an artist. And I did know you, actually. I did know you before then. But I didn't know you were an artist.
Uh-huh.
And Earlene told me that you were an artist. And you still are an artist.
Yeah.
And you know what? I could kick myself. I should have asked you to bring in something to show people.
I could kick myself.
Go ahead.
Incredible artist.
Well, thank
you,
sir.
Back in those days, OG man.
Yeah.
He came through for us on Saturdays, and he taught the children how to paint, and taught them all kinds of really fascinating stuff. Would you care to flashback on that?
Yeah, it was really, I have to thank him. He gave me a great opportunity to work with the kids. That's where my passion's at. And they were good, too. You know, I don't think they really know. You know, they just be throwing paint up there. They can't really see what they're doing. But I still have the medal that we won from the CCA for their banner. So we did win a contest down there, too. You know, you were so busy into the administration level. Thing. So yeah, I mean, we had the food, you know, you had to lay it out for him.
You had
a little break time, then we go into the, you still play guitar?
Yeah.
Okay, we're learning guitar, you know, I mean, more people you taught. But also, again, I wish you had kind of reminded me, I would have been more focused from yesterday, because I have the DVD that you was training me a little bit on the puppet shows.
Right.
But I have the actual DVD of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give you that. You know, I want to make sure I get a copy. I'm going to give it to you and make you get a copy. But it was a good show.
Uh-huh.
And I was really hoping to get you again one day to do that puppet show, though. So I just had a great time with that. I mean, I look forward to you one day. I know you wanted that building of your own, you know.
Yeah.
You can keep doing it. So some things probably going to pan themselves out in the future, I really believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great project you had. I enjoyed myself. You know, I really enjoyed myself with the kids, and I would look forward to doing that again. I haven't worked with the kids probably since then. At that time, I was working with you and with the Union Rescue Mission at the time.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay, how did you get started on them? Like, cause like you used to ask us to do the puppet shows, but you would have a men's breakfast. I remember you would have the whole block tied up from 6th and San Pedro to San Julian, the back the back lots of
we had San Julian Park at the time. We had the whole street.
Mm-hmm. And how did you? How did you? I mean, back at that time, what inspired you to get into that?
Well, one thing I wanted to do, my father really did. My father, and because he had passed, and my young son, mm-hmm. he's 12 years old now. So, mm-hmm. but I seen so many men, just like yourself, and other men down there was working. You know, that was family men going to work, and at that time I was going to school. You know, mm-hmm. and I just realized that a lot of men. Then I seen like Easter come by, the streets would be blocked off. Mother's Day, the streets blocked off. Christmas, mm-hmm. the streets blocked off. Valentine's Day, the street blocked. Father's Day, whoop, nothing. Ghost town. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing a lot of men that were in the programs, like, the mission don't enforce Father's Day. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, well, you the dead be dead anyway. You here in the mission, so we ain't got nothing special for you. So,
they joke about mass confusion is Father's Day in Watts.
Oh yeah,
because they don't know who their dads are. Yeah. You know, so.
So that was that, you know, even like Bobby, you know, Bobby mm-hmm. just came back, you know, going to see his daughter all the way to Arkansas. So there's a lot of men that are responsible fathers. But, and so I wanted to highlight that. And also that the fact brought me into the fact that there was no family units on Skid Row. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the fact that you don't see a lot of kids running around, you know, with their daddy, because there's nowhere for them to live. Mm-hmm. The system is set up for single room occupancy.
Right.
Okay. That ain't talking about the lost. When the lost people move in, they can have kids. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that was the other thing that a lot of people that drive around and drive through Skid Row don't realize. A lot of men down there that take care of their family. I got grandkids, 13. You know, I can't drag 13 grandkids down to Skid Row where ain't nothing going on for kids.
Right.
Ain't a swing, ain't a sandbox, mm-hmm. ain't nothing been set up. So the system on Skid Row was set up to be anti-community and anti-family.
Right.
If you got a woman, you and your woman come down with drugs or whatever, going to a mission, you go one way and they go the other way. Mm-hmm. So it's always been set up like that for decades.
Okay, but you don't think, and you know that I used to spend a great deal of time down in, you know, on San Julian and in Skid Row area. Do you think that basically, and I know you've seen a lot, you've heard a lot in the Skid Row area. Do you think it's a good environment for children?
Well, first of all, I put like this here. They say Skid Row is not safe for children. It's not good for children. Mm-hmm. If it's not good for children, what may think it's good for me and you?
Well, I
okay,
think
this is what I'm saying. It's like a lion's den. Mm-hmm. If me and you, Shantae's in the lion's den, I'm supposed to just throw her out the lion then we just sit down and get ate up?
Well, I think
you got to make the community kid-friendly. I'm saying the community was designed the way it is. So if it's not safe for that, it's not because of the accident. It's because that was designed that way. Mm-hmm. And even when they talk about pedophiles, they're in the missions.
Right.
They don't tell you exactly. That. They say, it ain't safe out there in the streets of Skid Row
because
the pedophiles is out there. They're in the mission. Yeah. They don't tell you that. So if you go, what do you mean? Because they're in the missions. Mm-hmm. And the missions have to let them out to go to the store, mm-hmm. go shopping. Mm-hmm. So they the one that harm all of them. So, but you don't tell them that. You don't tell the community that. You tell them that the people on the street ain't safe. It ain't no more safer inside than outside.
But I think there's kids that are on Skid Row. I mean, you know, because
if
their parents are there, they're there. You know, whether they're in a program, like you said, they may be in the Union Rescue Mission, but they got to come out and go to school. So they live, maybe in a mission, but they're living, or the hotels, they're living on Skid Row.
Right. Most of them live in hotels or whatever, but the fact that there's not the amenities for kids is why you don't see a lot. Okay, if you go to Parlor's and Nino's, you go inside there, man, they got their own basketball court. It's beautiful in there.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. So they got everything in there so the kids don't have to come to the street. So imagine if you got it on the street. Just like you had the art class and everything. Mm-hmm. They will come, but everybody's inside, okay? because of the stereotype view. First of all, you ain't never heard of no kids getting molested on Skid Row. Never. Because down on Skid Row, we protect them kids. So that fallacy is dangerous for kids. No, no. Your kid cannot come on Skid Row without somebody watching them. If you're not watching them, somebody else going to watch them. That's how I go down there, because people hold kids to high level. Because a lot of them people no longer can go around their kids for whatever reason. Maybe they're on drugs, fell out with their husband or wife. Mm-hmm. So kids are precious. That's not what they tell you. They tell you, don't bring your kids down there. But I say this here, if it's not safe for children, it's not safe for nobody.
Well, I understand what you're saying, though, that if they deem it unsafe for children, then they should make an environment safe for everybody. That's basically what you're saying.
Just that simple. So any other kind of excuses that you come up with, well, we just going to get rid of kids, which is a lie because kids are there. It's a lie that they ain't there. Yeah.
Well, I think the social workers and the county and all that stuff are trying to, I guess there was actually back when I spent a lot of time, there was a push actually to try to get the kids out of Skid Row.
There's always been a push
taking,
for that.
Yeah, taking facilities out and like you're saying, basically keeping it in a negative light and negative environment.
Yeah, I mean, they help to do it. On the other hand, you know, it's like a constant struggle, okay? Even the word community does not mean the same thing. Community means wine guard. Community means lamp. Mm-hmm. Community means Union Rescue Mission. Community means Midnight Mission. It doesn't mean the whole Skid 50 blocks.
It just means the missions.
It just means the missions. So when they say the word, well, we're raising money for the Skid Row community. They talking about raising money for LA Mission. We raising money for the Skid Row community, wine guard. Mm-hmm. And people don't see through this, especially the donors. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go on to the man owner's block.
Right, it's not going to the streets, it's going to the buildings.
The
word community, when you take a word and you define it, we know what community means. Community means men, women, and children.
Right.
So get out of that. You can't go to nowhere and build no single room occupancy, but on Skid Row, like it's normal.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's a normal thing to do. It's abnormal. You try to create a freak neighborhood. And now that it's backfired on you, because all of these years, people been having relationships, kids been getting born, they couldn't live there, they might have to go to Watts, Compton, somewhere else to live, but they come back every day. Just go to San Julian Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They come back every day because it's more comfortable for them to sit in San Julian than at South Park or at Long Beach Park. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else, they come back. So it's all been a big old lie, okay? Uh-huh.
So that's what inspired you basically to...
Well, Father's Day, yeah, just to show there wasn't enough men. It was a lot of men because before Father's Day, we used to go like to your house, somebody else's house. Okay, then when we helped open up the James Woods Center, and then we did another event, and then, you know, I kind of knew some people, you know, SRO directors on first. They said, well, the man is kind of responsible. He might not be too keen, but he's responsible. He might come up with some weird ideas, but he's responsible. So he gave me a lot of opportunities.
Right.
And so Father's Day worked. You know, when I first did Father's Day, they said, well, I had rappers up. Well, you can't have no Bloods and Crips up in the same park. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? So that went through there. It went well, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we started doing that. And then the Street Ball League jumped off. Mm-hmm. So that went well. Mm-hmm. Operation Faith. And it was clean. And you remember when people said, well, nobody going to keep the streets clean? Right, couldn't put no garbage cans out. It wasn't going to work. You crazy, ain't nobody gonna clean up Skid Row. Mm-hmm. That worked.
Right.
Okay, so after year in and year out, you know, and the men played a major role. You know, I mean, your family used to come out there every weekend and clean up. So a lot of people that don't live, that's the other fallacy. Everybody thinks if you're from Skid Row, you live here.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
People that are, we call Skidronians, they don't necessarily live on Skid Row. Mm-hmm, they come back and put in work.
Right.
You know, but they don't necessarily live in there. A lot of people that's living on the street, they could care less. All they want is another handout. Because people send them people from Chicago, New York, Alabama. They send their problems out here.
Right.
Because it's sunny and they can get something to eat.
Yep.
And maybe, yeah, and maybe a brand new pair of shoes.
Yep, yeah. Get that too. You know? And that's another thing, like that thing too. You know, I hate to knock people. We know certain agencies get 50,000 shoes to give away. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know, 50,000 people on Skid Row. Mm-hmm. So why are you receiving 50,000 shoes, and then you don't even think about, let me go give 200 to the L.A. Mission. Let me go get 200 to the Union. We're talking about community.
Right, right.
You're part of the community, but no. It don't really mean that. It means your little group, that's the community. So because you got 50,000 shoes, and don't nobody on Skid Row get it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you mean like people coming from outside?
Yeah, yeah. You see the whole, you can't sleep on the street, but when them 50,000 shoes get there, there's people sleeping all around.
Yeah.
And then we don't even know if they're low income because you don't get no paperwork.
Right,
right.
You just line
so
up.
You just give the shoes to the, but you won't take none to the L.A. Mission, the Union Mission, the Wine Guard. There ain't but 200 people over there. You got 50,000 shoes that you give away. And the news come down there,
right.
50,000 bags, a school bag. But the women and kids in the Union Rescue Mission don't get that because they can't sleep on the street.
Right, you have to be back at a certain time. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people pip a Skid Row off their word community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny you say that because we know a family, and it just shocked me out and stuff. I'm not going to say who it is and stuff, but she had quite a few kids. She didn't live on Skid Row. But she had a list, like, come Christmas time, we go over here, we get, you know, gifts handed out. We go over here, we get gifts handed. And, you know, she'd drag her kids, and they'd be carrying stuff back, and it's like.
Well, she would put them in each line.
And I was like, I was kind of shocked by this and stuff, you know. And I'm sure when the shoe handouts went, and they probably did need this stuff. Don't get me wrong. But the whole thing, they didn't live down on Skid Row. They were being taken out of that community.
That's
you
all
know?
I'm saying. So people that benefit from
exactly
Skid Row
true.
Ain't from Skid Row. So we got to get.
Times, yeah.
We got. Well, that's the majority because, man, you know what it is. You can't meet a woman or a woman meet a man, fall in love, have some kids, and live happily ever. It don't happen on Skid Row. Y'all got the mood.
Mm. Well, you would. I mean, don't get mad at me.
I'm mad.
Don't get mad at me. But do you think that is normal? OG, don't get mad at me, okay? Do you think it's normal to want to stay on Skid Row?
On the streets of Skid Row.
Well, are you talking about, you're talking about the sidewalks, I would think. Or you know, because, so no, that is not normal to sleep on the streets of Skid Row. Mm-hmm. But I think with Skid Row is going to be fashionable, and it's going to exist for a long time. It's going to be like a cultural thing. It's going to be something like Venice Beach or the boardwalk. Sleeping on the streets of Skid Row is going to be part of Skid Row culture because there's nowhere else you can go.
Well, they've kind of herded people over to an area.
They kind of made it into a culture, okay? And that's the one thing we kind of found out by going out there cleaning up and sweeping. You've been out there a lot, and once you start interacting with the people, seeing that they satisfied.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just saying, like, we used to go out there and, you know, some people, you got your hard heads and you always have that, but we get out there and we start doing our thing and the people would help us, you know.
Do they carry the trash can bags for me?
Get out the way when we do this side.
That's
of the
have everything picked
right.
on
that's
up so
community.
You can get it, you know,
that's what
cleaned
I'm saying.
Up.
That's
and
community. On the other hand, the same people that got institutions won't even let you come in there and use that garbage can. Mm-hmm. Won't give you a broom. The same million-dollar institutions that you clean up around won't give you nothing.
Right. Or the street cleaners. Go to the city and try to see if they can take a street cleaner down there and clean it all up.
That kind of stuff. So the whole thing, you know, is with Skid Row as a community and as a neighborhood, because you got to remember, too, all those businesses, all up and down 4th Street, all up and down Crocker, all of them are part of the community.
Right.
Some of them don't want. So when you really look at Skid Row as a community, you'll see all the potential that it have. Mm-hmm. You know, no, people don't have to sleep on the streets. But I'm going to tell you something, there will be some that's going to want, especially under the present system, because if you are a woman and you get a room in an SRO, unfortunately, a lot of men are into pornography.
Unfortunately.
You walking up and down, a woman in there, walking up, just, and you got communal bathroom. That's especially you got your own bathroom. Uh-huh. You got to use the bathroom. Here, a fool got his door wide open, looking at pornography, looking at you like a pork chop, okay? So, of course, a lot of women feel uncomfortable with being in there.
Right.
Even though they got a place to stay, they'd rather get out of there.
Right,
you know, because you can't even, or you're getting propositioned from floor to floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. That's what single room occupancy breeds. So you keep saying, well, you want to live on Skid Row because the system has set up something to make it uncomfortable for you to live what you want to say a normal place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I live is a lot of kids around. So when I, you know, Skid Row, I got my businesses there.
Right.
So I don't have to live there for my business to be there.
Right.
But when I get home, it's a breath of fresh air, walking up and down the street, seeing kids laughing, running around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The park over there. But we got a city park with no swing. I've never seen a park with no swing in my whole life till I got to Skid Row.
Gladys.
Yeah,
I've never seen a park that was cement. There's no dirt or grass over at San Julia.
There's a little grass. They have a grassy knoll.
They have a little grass. Most parks are all grass with little sidewalks.
Yeah, see, those kind of things. So I see we live other places, which gives us an opportunity to bring stuff. You know, if you live somewhere, you kind of get kind of fixed, okay? But that's one thing I like about Skid Row, because people come from New York, Chicago, era. You bring in all the information, okay? So we have a lot to work with. And trust me, if it wasn't nobody sleeping on the streets of Skid Row and everything was lost around there, I bet you'd be some swings and sandboxing.
So there ain't no reason
for that.
Well, I don't know, but back to Father's Day briefly. Give, I guess, the community an opportunity to see that there are men that are trying to be responsible and care, and to try to give those men acknowledgement.
Yep. Well, we'll be there on the 20th.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going to be at?
It's going to be Saturday, the 20th, at Gladys Park once again. From 10 to 5, we'll be having games in the morning. And then at 12 o'clock, we'll have some speakers, some entertainers. We'll have some food going on.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some other things, some special events going on. I know we're having dominoes tournament, chess tournament, card tournament. And I'm pretty sure there'll be some special guests going up. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can call me directly at 213-925-7180. Or email me at ogsinservicela3@yahoo.com. Or call Willis.
Don't call Willis. Willis can't hang.
You got it
all down right there. And that was the best thing to do right there.
You got any people want to perform? We might have some spots available. Let me know. Anything you might want to contribute, let me know.
And they can get a hold of you with the information you just gave.
Yes, sir. 213-927-7180.
And then who's going to answer that phone?
Bobby.
Okay. Bobby Bucks and the man in charge.
That's me.
Oh, okay.
I know these events, you know, because we've been there. They're awesome. I mean, there is a full day of events. You are not sitting around twiddling your thumbs. There's stuff always going on.
Yes.
Right. And that's what I know him for. He's always been in the community shaking it up. And that's his style. And that's what he's been doing for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, very long time. Man. And I love him, and I appreciate everything he's doing. He might not be the most orthodox.
Very orthodox. I'm a little unorthodox.
His methods are sometimes a little unorthodox, but very, very effective. So I appreciate. I do appreciate you, man. I really
do. I appreciate you, too.
And any last comments here before we sign off?
Nope. Give it to Bobby. Just have a good Father's Day. All you fathers, stay responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your kids.
Shantae Marie?
Yeah, I think along those lines, fathers being responsible. And thank OG for being a guest on the show.
Thank you.
A lot of good stuff to say. Everyone did. Really good conversation.
And niece?
I just appreciate OG and Bobby for coming in on our show.
And I hope I can get some of them pictures, Bobby. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say we are never more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating. And that's our show.